Welcome to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin.
And I'm Andy Imus.
November is National Adoption Month, so here in a little bit we're going to have somebody on the show with us, a special guest, to talk a little bit about her adoption story and kind of what she's doing in her own community to help kids that are looking for homes.
Right, which also brings into the news story about the Utah lesbian couple who had their child taken away from them because they were lesbian and how that got overturned by the judge.
Right. Before we get into that, though, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news right now. And
so much stuff.
So it's while it's not directly LGBT, you know, I feel like we kind of have to talk about some of these things.
And, please, let's do. Because we have an opinion about everything.
We absolutely do. As I sit here drinking my Dunkin' Donuts Joe in a box, box of Joe, whatever it's called, I can't help but think of all of this Starbucks controversy that's going on.
And yeah, and I'm a huge Starbucks fan. I mean, Dunkin'
and
Donuts
I'm not.
Is great.
I'm not a big Dunkin' Donuts fan either. Like, I'm not a coffee snob, and maybe that's why I have so much disdain for
but I stop
Starbucks.
At Starbucks just about every single day on the way to work, and there is even a Starbucks at work, so if I can't stop once I get to work, I will go and get one. So maybe out of convenience partly, but also because I love it, and I like the atmosphere. I like
frou-frou coffee.
It really is. I'm very snobbish, and I appreciate my love of Starbucks and my snobbiness that comes along with it.
All right. So Starbucks is in the news because they released their holiday design for their cup. Everybody's so invested.
I can't wait.
Everybody's so invested in this design, and it's a simple red cup.
I didn't even notice that there wasn't a design on it. We live in Orlando, so we're still drinking iced beverages,
right?
Which don't come in a colored cup. So I didn't even notice that there were just plain red cups. I saw them and I was like, oh
it's a red
pretty.
Cup. Yeah.
Yeah. And I never thought about what it looked like last year or the year before. So
Christian folks come out of the woodwork to lobby against Starbucks and their anti-Christian coffee cup. But what they fail to remember is that the previous year's Starbucks designs was not the nativity stable with the star on top. It was not a cross with Jesus holding a cup of coffee in one hand. It was snowflakes and
Santa
and very kind of secular winter designs.
Right.
So where is all this nonsense coming from?
There's
an attack on Christianity. They're out to get them.
Yeah, they're completely obsessed with this cup not having a design on it, which I like it. I like the simple red cup. I'm not going to lie.
Yep.
Which we'll talk about in future episodes. I have kind of a bad connection with Christmas.
Yes.
So for me, A, I didn't even realize it.
Right.
And B, to my eye, it was very appealing.
It's crazy. You have one camp that says, you know, oh, they're out to get Christians and we're against the Christian Christmas, which, by the way, Christmas was a pagan festival before it was the Christian holiday.
Right.
This is we're talking Romans, right? They would select a person in the community to represent evil. And that person was the representative of evil. And then they would do terrible things to this person and ultimately kill them in a symbolic kind of sacrificial killing of evil. And that's how that's what Christmas is really about, folks. So yes, Christians have appropriated this holiday time from pagans. So there you go. So you have one camp saying that, you know, they're out to get Christmas. And then there's another camp that's saying Starbucks is just lazy as hell. This is the best you could come up with. They sat in the boardroom. Joe, what do you think we should do? I don't know, Tom. We did the snowflakes. We did the reindeer. We did the Santa Claus thing. Christmas tree? Nah, that was 3 years ago. Hell, just make it red.
Yeah, and budget-wise,
yeah,
that's
saving
great.
Money.
They're saving tons of money on that. Millions of dollars, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if they can take that millions of dollars and give it to, you know, they serve the troops overseas. A lot of people are misconstrued about that. I think one person jumped to conclusions a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
A Marine, I believe, said that they don't deliver overseas, but that was later retracted.
Mm-hmm.
But people still hold on to that. But you see on YouTube and on their website that they deliver tons and tons and tons of coffee to our troops overseas. So if they can save that $1 million or X amount of money on Christmas decorations on the cup and send it to our troops, you know, please, or make me better coffee, please.
Here's the thing, though. As much publicity as this thing gets, there is a very famous saying that's attributed to P.T. Barnum, right? That was, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah.
So say what you want to about Starbucks, but it's all over the news. And that all that does is, you know, give them brand recognition.
Right. It's just so ridiculous to think that because of a lack of a design on a cup, it means that they're anti.
Right. And especially for the Christians that are up in arms about this, hear this. There are children dying all over the world from right. hunger. There are people dying all over the world from ISIS attacks. There are all of these atrocities that happen every day, and right. you're worried about a damn cup. Get over yourself.
Yeah. And you
Hashtag first world problems. and that brings
it's
me
so
right back
true.
To the, you know, it's that type of that frou-frou Starbucks kind of atmosphere that if it takes me longer to order the drink than it's going to take me to drink it or for you to make it, I need a venti, frappa, mocha, whatever with, and then it's, oh, and three sugars and two, just give me a cup of coffee, right? Just give me a damn cup of coffee.
I take a venti chai tea latte dirty, which means with a shot of espresso. So.
Yeah.
I love Starbucks. I can't help myself. It takes me a long time to order, but they always get it right.
And I heard somebody frou-frou coffee ordering in the drive-thru at Dunkin' on my way here, too. So it's not just the Starbucks thing. It's suddenly we have become obsessed with, you know, it used to be your choices were regular or decaf, right? And then you put your own cream and your own sugar in and make it however you want it. But I'll pour you the coffee, right?
Right. But, you know, the persona of being a barista is huge.
Oh, yeah. There's like so much social status assigned to these people.
It really does.
You pour coffee. Like, I mean,
no, but it actually is fascinating to watch because I don't think it's one of those jobs that everybody can do. Honestly, it takes a lot of remembering and knowing where things are and to make these beverages fast and accurate and knowing what people mean when they say it. I mean, that's
right. I would have a hard time remembering.
Yeah.
And so that's the other
thing.
Can
you even repeat what I just said?
No, of course not. Because it takes so long to order it. Then we come up with our own language to like acronym it down so that I can just double whatever. Like,
right.
And, you know, and so then you shorten it up and then it becomes even more complicated.
Sarah's easy. She just wants black coffee.
Right. Exactly.
Caffeinated black coffee.
Yep.
You know, but I like the little more fruity. I'm good with cream sugar, you know, and coffee. But, you know, when you get down to it, I like a little bit of sass with my coffee, so, but not enough to boycott over a cup. I want to know who these people are, because I feel like we're getting a lot of the news media that says right-wing Republican Christians are boycotting Starbucks over this, but not a lot of people have come forward to actually claim that.
Yeah, to say, oh, it's me. I'm the one who's not going to Starbucks anymore.
You see one or two people, but this quote-unquote movement, I really don't think it took off. But I think what Starbucks got from it is exactly what you said. The news media picked up on this, and they're getting all this publicity, even though it might not be the best, but most people are defending them. So I think that it kind of backfired on the people who were crazy in the first place.
You do a search on Google for Starbucks cup, and your top few hits here are what Starbucks Red Cup controversy says about American consumers. Fortune put that out. CNBC has one called The Real Winner in Starbucks Red Cup Controversy, and I bet you it's Starbucks.
I bet you it is.
That's who's winning from this thing. But anyway, so that's...
I don't know. I like it. I like Starbucks. It's friendly. It's their meaning behind what they do. They support our troops. They support different genders. And I think at the end of the day, that is what really matters. And that's one of the companies that I do want to throw my money at, as opposed to like a Chick-fil-A or a Hobby Lobby or someone like that who doesn't share the same values and respects that I do.
Yeah. And, you know, nothing says I support all ideas more than
a plain red cup.
Right.
And that's what, when they put out their statement, that is exactly what they said, is that it's to support everybody in every religion. I mean, and then it's getting into the, do we say Merry Christmas? Do we say Happy Holidays? Do we say...
Didn't Trump come out and say...
He's bringing back Merry Christmas.
When I'm president, we're all going to say Merry Christmas.
You know...
Yeah, good for you, buddy.
God help us all if Donald Trump becomes president. Oh, like, I'm moving to Canada.
Yep.
And
I have friends in Canada, so we have a safe place.
You know, people said that when Obama became president, but I haven't. But yeah, I but legit he wasn't
an idiot. Like, yeah,
exactly. I legit mean it when. If Donald Trump becomes president, America might explode.
Well, and I say I'm not a coffee snob, but if I have to choose, it's Tim Hortons. And Tim Hortons is a Canadian thing. Like,
So there you go.
kind of
the badass coffee. And
That's the real Canada coffee, eh? See, I can pull off Canadian.
You can.
I'm all about Canada.
I lived 3 hours away from Canada growing up. Where we work, we're not allowed to say Merry Christmas either. Especially down here in Orlando, we have so many tourists and
so many people from all over the world
that it makes more sense to say happy holidays. It's more inclusive.
Right.
You know, if someone says Merry Christmas to me
in response,
first,
then
yeah,
yes.
I'll absolutely say it back because I grew up Christian. I am a Christian and I say Merry Christmas, but I prefer happy holidays.
Well, when you water down what that greeting is meant to be. It's wishing someone well.
Right.
That's really all it
is.
On
Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Day, and New Year's Eve, mm-hmm. I hope you have a good month.
Or whatever it is you celebrate, whether it's Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or whatever. But I, as a fellow human being, wish you well. That's really all it's saying.
Right. To start
so
your new year.
Let's just say that.
I, as a human being, wish you well. Yeah. I'm going to start saying that and see where it takes me.
Okay.
Make news media all over the world.
All right. Let's get off the absurd here, and we're going to take a quick break. We come back again. November is National Adoption Month, so we're going to have a guest on to tell her story and get some mm-hmm. more kind of information about some of the challenges and struggles of adoption.
Adoption is very, very important. We have so many children living on the streets and who are in foster care. And it's very important to pay attention to these issues and that even if you don't have a lot of money, you can still do things.
Absolutely.
It's all about the kids and making sure that they can grow up feeling secure.
As they say, children are our future, right?
They are. I could start singing about
please
that.
Please don't. And Sarah we'll end. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
Never let me sing.
Hey, guys, let's play some video games.
This new dad plays video games with his sons. But the challenge feels like he's lifting a metric ton.
So many buttons.
His avatar just stares at the walls, twists and turns and somehow falls.
Help me.
He's tangled up in the controller's cords.
I just don't understand this crazy digital world.
Crazy, crazy digital world.
Zeros and ones.
But the love from his kids is totally apparent. See, you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
You should have just played catch. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin.
And I'm Mandy Imus. So it is National Adoption Month. On the phone we have Anne, who has adopted some children. And going into National Adoption Month, we kind of wanted to hear your story and what you're doing in your community to help others and children find forever homes.
Well, first I want to say Adoption Month is awesome because it helps a lot of kids get homes. And we celebrate adoption during this month. But it's also important to remember that while adoption is happy for a lot of people, it's also sad for a lot of the birth mothers out there who gave up their children either by choice or not by choice through, you know, foster care system. So while we celebrate it a lot, there's also people out there that it kind of is a little bit painful for them. So I just wanted to shout out if anyone's listening to those birth mothers out there that, you know, we think about you and I just wanted to say that too.
That's a good point because I think that's something that we don't often think of is you think about how children or teenagers find these families to live with, but you don't think about the other side of it.
Yeah, and even if someone chooses to give up their child for adoption, that's always a part of them and always, you know, a little painful for them to think about. So while we are celebrating, we just want to recognize, you know, that it is painful for some people and that we know you're out there somewhere.
Yeah. So you've adopted three children.
Yes.
Wow, that's great.
A little bit of our backstory. We went through 5 years of infertility and some pregnancy loss. And people kept saying, why don't you just adopt? And for us, we didn't want to have that be like a consolation prize. I mean, that was always very important to us. We never wanted our adoptive kids to feel like, oh, you only adopted us because you couldn't have your own kids. So that's why we always put off the decision. And when it became clear that it probably wasn't going to happen for us, we started thinking and praying about it more. And I said to him one day, I think I kind of want to adopt. And I said, I want you to think about it too, but before we make the decision, we want to answer this question. If we were to get pregnant tomorrow, would we still adopt? Mm-hmm. So we wanted the decision to be separate from our infertility, if that makes
sense.
Right.
No, definitely.
So we both came to that conclusion that we would. So we didn't stop trying to have kids, but we actively started pursuing adoption. I am a former reporter, so I like to research everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent about 3 months looking into all kinds of adoptions. I had some friends that were also going through the same thing, so it was good to have someone else there with me. We went to all these agencies and got a feel for the different types of adoption and to really think about what kind we wanted, because there's pros and cons for every type of adoption.
Yeah.
I can go over the three main ones I found. There's international adoption, obviously, that, you know, it's really expensive. It can cost anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 or even more,
because
you have to factor in travel costs. And it can be up there. And there's been a lot of change in the international adoption industry, because it started coming out in recent years that there was a lot of unethical practices.
Right.
On both sides, there were people that were so desperate for kids were kind of going in roundabout ways to get kids that probably wasn't proper. And then there were, you know, some, you know, international agencies that were not giving full information to adoptive parents, and they were getting kids that had special needs that they couldn't handle when they came to America. So there's been a lot of reform in that industry lately. But what you're seeing now, like, I have a friend that is in the process of raising money to adopt a baby from China, and they're intentionally adopting special needs. So you're seeing a lot more families that have a heart for special needs, because those are the kids on an international front that need homes. You know, they just need someone to take care of them, especially in cultures where, you know, you don't have money to take care of multiple children.
Yeah.
You know, the ones with special medical needs are the ones that get left at the orphanage.
Is it China that you're only allowed to have two kids now?
Yeah, they changed
they
it recently
changed it
from
to
one
two,
to two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of families really want sons, so you're seeing a lot of special needs little girls that are in orphanages. So, and they even had a special program where you could host an orphan for Christmas. So last year they had an orphan come over from China for Christmas.
Wow.
And then he was able to visit America and meet prospective families, because a lot of times if people see them in person, you know, they fall in love with them, and, you know.
Right.
So the international adoption is a big option, but you have to definitely have a heart for it.
Right.
Because not only does it cost a lot of money, but, you know, really these kids need a lot of support. Even if they're not special needs, just coming to a new culture, and a lot of them are older, they're not necessarily babies anymore. So it's a big investment in time and money. So you have to really feel called to do that. Another type of adoption is through private adoption or birth parent adoption through an agency, where a woman is pregnant and decides she wants to put up the baby for adoption. And usually they're matched through an agency before, but sometimes it's last minute or after the baby's born, and you adopt that baby. Usually that costs several thousand dollars, probably 20 to 30 also for that. And there, you know, there's been a lot of industry change there too. There's a whole ethics issue of, if you help support a birth mother while she's pregnant, does that pressure the birth mother to give up the baby when she falls in love with it after it's born?
Right.
Because are you buying babies at that point? You know,
right.
So which is illegal to buy babies. But then, you know, if a family saved up $20,000 to adopt and then the mom changes their mind, like, that's over for them too. So it's kind of a lose-lose on every side, but you obviously don't want to adopt a child from a mother that wants to keep their child, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So there's a lot of regulation going on in a lot of legislatures right now about how much support potential adoptive parents can give to pregnant mothers ahead of time, or what kind of agreements can be signed.
You know, one of the other things I think was a little, I don't know, you'd call it unfair, but that I'm surprised the government hasn't stepped in to try to regulate yet, is that all of the background that you have to go through to become an adoptive parent, right? Any Joe and Susie can go into the back of a Buick and have a baby, and they don't have to have anyone come to their house and make sure that they're operating a safe home, and they don't have to go through any of that. Right. So yes, you can draw a correlation that having a baby is very expensive. There's hospital bills and all of that stuff, but a lot of private insurances cover most of that. And then the adoptive process is highly unregulated. Like when it comes to, you know, what kind of financial assistance can you get in the adoptive process? And then, but also then you have to go through all of these strict hurdles that you have to jump over.
Yeah.
Yes. It's and a lot of that is changing as the stories come out of families. And especially there's certain states, which I won't mention because I don't want to call people out, but there are certain states.
We love to call people out.
Absolutely.
They're known as like refuge states for mothers who don't want to involve the father in the decision. So there are men out there that have lost their children to adoption because the mother is like, oh yeah, we're going to have a baby. And then she runs away to another state, signs the child away, says, you know, and they announce it in the public notices of the newspaper, you know, because they have to sever a father's rights before you can adopt.
Right.
But this is in a different state, so the father has no idea what happened. And so you're seeing a lot of cases come out like that, where fathers are fighting and they're actually winning and they're getting their kids back. So there's a lot going on the legislative front there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, this is an anti-adoptive parent, but it's really, I would feel like I stole a child if there was a parent out there that wanted their child and that decision was taken away from them, not by their choice or their bad decisions, but just because someone was shady, you know?
Like, yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, what would you tell your child when they grew up, you know? So you're seeing a lot of change there, but there are a lot of parents that definitely choose to go the birth parent route and have great open adoption relationships with their kids' birth mothers. And like, I have a friend that has adopted two children from two different moms, and she has two different, very different relationships based on the parents and, you know, how they're comfortable. But one of the kids' birth parents, she meets with them at, like, quarterly, and the birth parent gets to see the child growing up happy and healthy. And
yeah,
you're seeing a lot more of those type of situations too. So there's a lot of tough conversations going on out there, but there's a lot of good things coming out of it. Adoption's not as secretive as it used to be.
And then yours, the one that you did.
Yeah, we decided to go through foster care. You know, we don't want to say it just because it was the cheapest, but it is the cheapest way to do it. But, you know, for us, we didn't want to spend thousands of dollars on in vitro to try to get pregnant. And that's why we went into adoption. We're like, well, there's kids out there that need home.
Right.
It would be foolish of us to spend this money. I'm not against people that do that. I'm just saying for us, that was how we made that decision.
Right.
And then we were like, do we want to spend $20,000 adopting a child when there are kids that really need homes? You know, we're not going to be waiting on, you know, anybody to choose us. You know, there are kids that are just like really needing parents out there. So that's why we decided to go that route. We had to go through 10 weeks of classes that were very interesting. If anyone has gone through foster care training, they basically try to scare everyone away. The classes are just filled with like worst case scenarios.
Right.
Which is good, because whenever my kids do something crazy, I'm like, oh yeah, they talked about this at one week and people left the room crying, you know. And it's some of the scenarios they talk about make some of the things that my kids do, I'm like, oh, this is no big deal, you know, compared to what, you know, some of the stories we heard. But they really, because they want to make sure that you're into this, because it is a lot of work. Because when you think about it, being forcefully taken from your parents, regardless of what they did or why you're being taken, is a traumatic event. So even though kids may appear to not have lasting issues from foster care, they've already gone through a trauma just from being removed from their home. So right. They are going to have some emotional scarring. So they really want to prepare people for that. So we had 10 weeks of training, and then we had something called a home study. They come out and talk to you for like, we have like 5 sessions, I think. And basically they write your biography. They know everything. Like Mandy, you were probably mentioned in it, you know, like they know like all your, you know, your closest people and your family, how you were raised, you know, how your parents taught you and, you know, your jobs and your money situation. Like they want to know every detail about you to make sure, which is why I'm so surprised that so many crazy people sometimes get like the foster parents, because like they would have known if we were totally crazy, because they really, they get in there and they know everything about you. And sometimes you're like, oh God, you feel like you're in a therapist. They're like, tell me about the time where your parents did something wrong and your parents disciplined you. And you're like, oh gosh, you know, and if you know, you get into areas where you're questioning your parents and you have to be like, okay, here's how I would do it different. So it's like a huge therapy session for, but you know, he'd be here for sometimes, you know, it's supposed to be 1 or 2 hours, but sometimes it'd be 3 or 4, you know, a lot of people think home studies, they think just the inspection part, but really the home study is they're studying your home and your family and seeing if we place kids with you, what's that dynamic going to be like? And every kind of adoptive parent has to do a home study, even the international ones and the birth parent adoption. So it's just a little more detailed with foster care because the state has a lot of liability issues that they're placing for temporary purposes, someone else's kids in your home. So, and then we had the inspection for station health and safety, which I was super paranoid about. And it's one of those things where you're like you clean your house with like, you know, toothbrush in all the corners, and you're like, oh, he's gonna come in with a white glove and see other stuff. They can't have kids, you know. They come in and they test your hot water heater to make sure it's not too hot. You have to have all your dangerous chemicals locked up. If you have any guns, you have to keep them locked in a safe and ammunition somewhere else locked up. I don't remember all the rules. Pools have to be gated. Medicine has to be locked up.
Right.
So there's a lot of rules you have to follow. We actually, the day before, panicked because I didn't have the right fire extinguisher because there's codes on all the sides.
Yeah.
I was like, double check this. And I was like, I need an AB something. And this is a GC. So I had to run to Home Depot the day before and get a new fire extinguisher. Now I have 2. So I can handle all kinds of fires.
I don't even think I have a fire extinguisher.
No,
in my
we don't
house.
Either. No. Everyone should.
Everybody should.
Do as we say, not as we do. But.
This is a good learning lesson. I was like, if that candle knocks over right now.
Yeah.
We had to come up with an evacuation plan and tape it on the wall.
Oh, wow. More than just open the door fire. And walk out?
Yeah. Well, our house is really tiny. So, like, yeah, there's really, like, one way to get out of our house. So it was very simple evacuation plan. Plus, our kids are toddlers. So they were like, what's this map? I'm like, well, you know, and then they ripped it off the wall. So we did that. And then there's the waiting game. And we actually get, people were like, oh, it's going to take you months to get licensed because they're so backed up. And it was like a week. We got licensed right away. We actually chickened out at the last minute. We originally said we wanted 3 kids because siblings, that's a really hard to place.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially for permanent. So we're like, okay, 3. But then the foster care classes freaked us out. And we're like, I don't know if we could handle 3 special needs kids. Like, that's like, you know, because we had no kids. So we told our licensing worker, only license us for 2. We changed her mind, you know.
Yeah.
So she licensed us for 2 beds, and we always wanted boys, because little boys are harder to adopt out because of their shenanigans.
Right.
So we were like, well, you know, we're going to go for the hardest situation. So we're going to do a sibling set of boys, you know, so go big or go home. So we signed up for that. And at first we were only open to, because we didn't get in this to just do foster care. We got into it to adopt. So we had told our worker, you know, we just want kids that are, the parental rights are already severed and they're looking for an adoptive home.
Right.
They kept off, you know, sending us cases, and then we get really excited, and it was never, I always felt like it would be 2 boys, and we kept getting all different kinds, and we're like, okay, whatever, you know, we'll take, you know, whoever comes our way, all races, all genders, just, and we had an age limit just because we were new parents, so we didn't think we could handle teenagers,
yeah.
You know, so we were like, okay, we'll take up to age 8 from, you know, babies to age 8, and, so we got, you know, potential cases presented to us, and we said, okay, put us in. And what they do is they put in, call it a red file process. So they take all the potential parents and the team that is the support for those children, like their caseworker and foster parents and whoever is on the team for those kids, will sit and look at the adoptive parents and decide where they fit best. So it's not about finding kids for a family. It's about finding a family for kids that meets their needs. So none of them matched for us, which was cool because we were just like, well, those aren't meant to be our kids. And we just kept waiting, and I went crazy a lot of the time because I'm not patient. But we ended up doing a lot of respite care for our friends that are foster parents, where if you want to go somewhere overnight, you have to leave your kids with a licensed foster parent, right. You know, their foster kids. So we kind of got our feet wet in the whole parenting experience by, you know, taking kids for the weekend and just kind of getting used to having little ones in the house. So that was a good experience. And we learned a lot from those. And I joined an online foster parent support group for my area where, you know, the ladies would meet and talk about different things. So that was pretty educational. And then through that, someone was like, they're looking for a home that can take these 3 kids all together, because right now they're in separate homes. Because finding a placement together for 3 siblings is really hard. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's so many kids in foster care. Everyone's mostly full, mm-hmm. you know, of the beds they have. And so if there is an opening, it's usually only 1 bed. So if you have a sibling set of 3 that comes in that care, a lot of times those kids get split up.
Yeah.
Which is so sad because they're already really scared about being separated from their parents, and then they don't have their sibling support either. So we heard about these 3 kids, and it was looking like it was going to move toward, they were still foster kids. The plan was still reunification with their parents, which is always the goal when kids first come into care,
right.
is reunification. So they were still in reunification, but it was starting to move toward the thought that that may not happen. And before the caseworker wanted to ask the judge to move it towards severance, she wanted to make sure they were in a home that would adopt them. Because of their situation, they're all very young. They're all toddlers. 3 siblings out of 3 toddlers.
It was what? They were 1, 3, 4?
1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
And because of their situation, they had moved around a lot within the system. They had been in, I think, 3 or 4 homes already in just 6 months.
All 3 together, or were they had they been separated?
They were separate. Mm. My 2 littlest were together at the time that we got them, so that at least was good. But so they had already been moved several times, which is very damaging to little ones. Every time they get moved, they say that it sets them back emotionally 3 or 4 months.
Absolutely.
When you're talking about 3 or 4 moves, you're almost a year behind developmentally.
Right.
Social, and you know, when emotional, social, developmental. So the caseworker is like, I'm not moving them again unless I know that they're in a place that's going to adopt them in case the reunification doesn't happen. She just wanted to make sure I mean, it wasn't through our agency that refers kids to us, but we just heard about them and our hearts just like broke for them. I mean, I just can't imagine being that little, being separated from your mommy and daddy and being separated from your brothers and sisters and moving around so much. It just broke our hearts. So we called our licensing manager and we're like, hey, remember how we said we only wanted two kids? Can you bump that back up to three? So she had to put in an amendment to our license, which took a couple weeks, which is actually a very good thing because the case manager, because she was so adamant, she didn't want them to be moved again after moving to a longer term home, that she wanted us to get to know them before they moved into our house. So we spent a couple weeks going to visit them on weekends, like at the park or whatever, the two littlest ones. But we fostered them for about a year and a half before we were able to adopt them.
Do they know that they're adopted? Is that something that you keep open? And
yeah, we definitely talk about it all the time. We celebrate our adoption day. We just had our 1 year anniversary and we did like the same fun activities. That, you know, our oldest, he's six now. He gets a little, you know, adoption is fun. It's exciting for our family, but it's also very bittersweet for him, you know, because he remembers them and he's sad. So even though it was fun celebrating, he also, you know, some of his trauma behaviors resurfaced, you know, that we hadn't seen in a long time just because he has PTSD. So it brings up a lot of those bad memories, even talking about it. So they very much know, I think, for him, he's going to be the one that's affected the most long term because he remembers more.
Right.
But because even after they were taken from their home, they still had visits for a couple years. So they did that for a while, and that's really confusing when they're that young. But I understand the importance of it to keep that relationship because if reunification happens, you want them to be able to easily transition back to their home. So, so I'll go into kind of what we've been doing lately here.
Because I know you work still really hard with adoption and helping other couples and other children get adopted.
Yeah, when we got our three kids, we went into this with no experience and we really didn't have very much support. People just don't know what to do. You know, like when someone you know has a baby, you bring them a meal and you throw them a baby shower and you do all these things and you're like, oh my gosh, are you sleeping nice? You know, like you're very concerned for a new mother of a newborn, you know? We had none of that. And we went from zero to three kids, like overnight. We're like, where's our casserole? Someone bring out the casserole. I don't know what I'm doing.
You must have learned a little bit from cooking for me all those years.
Yes.
Because I didn't cook. I always never did it.
And when you have really little children, the thing I learned is, sometimes you need stuff from the store and you just can't go to the store. This kid's throwing up and this kid's who knows what that kid's doing, and you know, like they just, you're stuck a lot of the times. And so having that support, and a lot of these kids come into your home to foster, and not just the adopted ones, but actual foster kids come into care with nothing. So they're like literally dropped off at someone's house in a diaper, you know, and that's it. No extra diapers, no bottles, nothing.
There was there was a news story that we were talking about, and I won't be able to remember the family's name now, but they were featured in the American Girl magazine, and 1 million moms came out in trying to get everyone to, you know, cancel their subscriptions to American Girl magazine. And the feature of this family, it happened to be two gay dads who adopted. The story really focused on the daughter who, and one, I think one of the fathers had been through the foster system also. And so he himself had gone from place to place with literally a garbage bag, you know, one set of clothes. And so then, you know, they created a nonprofit that actually puts together like care packages to give to kids in the system so that they have something, you know, to carry all of their stuff in, and then some extra stuff like toothbrushes and all that kind of stuff. So,
and that's kind of what we were doing. Like we came to our church and we said, you know, you guys say, oh, let's adopt and help orphans. Let's care for the poor. You know, a lot of times Christians say stuff like that, but we don't put our words into action, you know? And so not everyone is called to adopt. But everyone should take care of the orphans of the world. You know, it's just a responsibility to care for children. So our goal, and I had three other wonderful ladies some of my friends, and our goal was, okay, if you're not going to be able to take care of kids, what can you do to help people who are?
And that's awesome.
Or help kids.
Mm-hmm.
Our group is, I have another foster adoptive mom. She adopted 4 kids. And then another mom who is just a foster parent. That's just what she does. She's had like 30 different kids in her home over the years. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. And then we have another mom who has 4 kids of her own, and they're in the process. I mentioned them earlier. They're raising money to adopt from China. So we have all kinds of areas covered. Mm-hmm. So we provide support. We have a monthly support group now for foster adoptive parents. We had people in the church make emergency bags.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friend's garage is now stuffed with them. If someone gets a placement and says, we got a 4-year-old boy, she just goes in her garage, grabs a 4-year-old boy bag, and drops it off at the house. And
that's awesome.
It has a change of clothes. It has toiletries. For some of the teen bags, we put in like iTunes gift cards and stuff, cool. So they can buy like music or movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So the immediate need is taken care of. And then, so we had so many bags, and that was just for the foster parents in our church. But we had so many bags that we're starting to donate them to local agencies and organizations, you know, that we just are just overflowing with these bags. So, we're able to affect our community too, not just our church body.
That's huge. And that's something that anybody can do.
Yeah. We brought on 3, I think the first recruitment round, we got 3 new additional foster parents. And then, we have 4 couples now that are getting licensed to be foster parents.
Yay.
And we actually had so many that they're holding the training at our church.
Oh, that's amazing.
Don't have to drive. So they're just training people. And then now, after we drop off the bags, we say, okay, you know, what's the sizes? And we were able to reach out to other people. Hey, you have a son. Do you have any 5T clothes?
Yeah.
And then we, you know, hand-me-downs and we get them. Or, like, I even ran to a store one day because someone got an 18-month-old that was the diaper story. They literally just came in a diaper. So
wow.
I was like, okay, you go home. I'm going to take my daughter. We're going to go shopping and buy some onesies and bring them over. You know, so we're able to, like, provide that immediate support. So she didn't have to feel like she had to take this 18-month-old who had pneumonia to the store because he had no clothes.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, like,
yeah.
And, you know, her husband was at work, and she had this little baby that came in a diaper.
Yeah.
And dropped off by CPS. So, we were able to, like, get her immediate needs filled. Sorry, my daughter's crying in the background.
No, that's okay. Right. We can wrap up. But before we do, is there anything that you want to say to people who are looking to adopt?
I just say, really think and pray about it if you're a praying person, and talk to your family and support group and make sure they're on board with it, because it's very rewarding, but it's also not easy.
Right.
And the kids need a lot of support. Just make sure that you're definitely sure about it. You have a support system in place, and you partner with people in your community that have done it before. And
to help you.
I mean, that's what we're trying to do, because I didn't have that. So we're trying to be that now for other people, because it is just essential. You know, I'm getting a lot of great advice from other people that are mothers, but having other mothers who have also been there when their child is
and can empathize
screaming for 4 hours. You know, like someone else is like, oh, they're just having a tantrum. Put them in timeout. They're screaming, you know.
Right.
But, you know, a child could be screaming for 4 hours because they've been through trauma. And, like, people don't understand that component of it. These kids, you know, just need a different type of parenting sometimes.
Right.
And so it's really key to be around people that have been through it and can support you through that.
Yeah. Well, you have an amazing heart, and I've known that my whole life. And I love what you're doing. And I love what you're doing. And I love your kids.
And we really appreciate you taking some time
out
to tell your
story.
Thank
you.
And, yeah.
Is there any website that we can link up to this?
I think there's a general, like, adoption.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. You might have to look it up. Mm-hmm. But that has a lot of, and there's forums on there for all types of adoption. So, like, you can find, like, specific to your needs. And there's forums on there for birth parents. So, if, like, you're hurting, and or just want to put something out there with your information in case your kids come looking for you someday, there's a whole section for that too. So that's a really good place to start if you're interested in adoption from foster care. The Dave Thomas Foundation, guy that founded Wendy's,
and the spicy chicken sandwich.
They do amazing. Yes, yes. Not only do they have great chicken sandwiches, that's their cause is adoption from foster care. Dave Thomas was actually adopted from foster care, so they do all those National Council ads about adopting from foster care that are hilarious. You should post some links to some of them. They're on YouTube. Like, you don't have to be a perfect parent to be a parent. Mm-hmm. And there's like these parents that do like hilarious stuff, and the kids are like, "Who are you?" They're great commercials. And so they have a lot of good resources, and they actually feature kids every month that need a home, you know, that need to be adopted. So That's awesome. Is a great place to start as well. I do want to make one more point.
Absolutely.
I ramble, so feel free to edit out. I know that you guys are very strong advocates for
anything, really.
If it's right, we're behind it.
If there's a social issue and I can argue it, like, bring it on.
I don't know all the letters now for gay, lesbian, trans. You know,
there's so many.
LGBT.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There was just a case in the court in Utah.
Where there was a lesbian couple.
And I just wanted to make a comment about that. And from a Christian, because I know people are like, it's all Christians hate gay people, which we don't. Both my husband and I looked at that story, and I was expecting him to make a completely different comment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, did you see the story? And we both said at the same time, this is so sad because there's so many kids that need homes. This is what we're worrying about.
Right.
And so I wanted to put that out there that that's not everyone. And I don't know why people are making a deal about that when they shouldn't, because there are kids that are sleeping in CPS offices.
Right. And at the end of the day, it was the kids who got hurt because they were in this home, got pulled to another home, and then back to that home again.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there are much bigger things to worry about. And Christians a lot of times get judged by the actions of some, that
very true.
Is not representative of all. So,
right.
Which is true of all kinds of groups. So, I just wanted to say that, you know, that it's very sad that that's happening when there are kids that really just need parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
it's really all about
good
love.
Parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, I gotta go to church now.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah,
I know
it
was hard, and I've been bugging you for a really long time, so I really appreciate it.
Again, November is National Adoption Month. We'll put some links up for resources if you want to get involved. And again, getting involved can be as simple. It doesn't have to be as complicated as I'm going to go adopt a child, right? It's something just as easy as,
right.
You know, kids need things, whether it's a toothbrush, which let's be real, is really not an expensive item.
Right.
And, you know, you can load up a whole basket of those for $10. And so if there's anything we can get you to take away from our topic is, you know, it doesn't have to be big to make a big difference. So that's all the time we have for our show today.
Thank you again to Anne for
absolutely
coming
big thanks
in
for being on
us.
The show. As always, join the conversation online at social media. It's facebook.com/SarahTalkRadio.
Right.
Twitter is @SarahTalkRadio. And of course, you can always comment on this particular episode at SarahTalk.com.
Yeah. And if you're interested in adopting or want to know more, you know.
Yep. I will have some resources up on the show notes of this episode. That's all the time we have for today. Go out and do good things. From myself, Sarah Austin.
And Mandy Imes.
Do something to make a difference. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.